This is Colorado Matters on KCFR. I'm Ryan Warner. According to recent U.S. Census figures, 778,000 Coloradans are without health insurance. Being without health coverage can mean financial ruin in the event of a catastrophic illness or even dying from a treatable condition. Nearly 40% of uninsured Coloradans are young adults, ages 18 to 34. People like 24-year-old Amber Dew. Like other 20-somethings, Dew thought she was invincible, and when she started working in retail a few years ago, she opted out of the company's health care plan. Dew was healthy, and besides her portion of the premium, $140 a month, was a sizable chunk of her paycheck.
You know, with bills that accrue and every little penny counts, so if you think you don't need something, you don't do it just to save that penny.
Then Amber Dew got sick and was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. That meant countless doctor's visits, 3 surgeries, chemotherapy, and piles of bills, which she eventually stopped opening.
Every surgery I had was around $17,000 to $25,000. That's not including the anesthesia. The anesthesia bills ranged from between $8,000 to $10,000 every bill. I was on 3 chemo drugs, and each drug costs about $5,000 every time I went in to get it.
For a grand total of $200,000. Every month, the hospital garners a quarter of Dew's paycheck to pay off her bill. Now she's on the company's health plan. But unlike Amber Dew, many Coloradans can't get health insurance, even if they want it. Take Ruth Ann Bolin, an uninsured nurse practitioner from Montrose. 2 years ago, Bolin switched jobs. Her new one didn't offer health insurance. No problem, Bolin thought. She'd buy it on her own. But she was denied because her cholesterol was borderline high, 12 points above the normal level.
So I applied to another individual plan. And they had one of those questions, have you ever been denied health care? Well, of course, I had to mark yes now because I'm one of those, you know, let's put a red star on her chart.
A red star that Bolin thinks made the insurance company give her chart added scrutiny and ultimately led to a second denial.
This time not based on my cholesterol, but based on a breast lump that was found on my last exam, followed up appropriately with a mammogram. The mammogram was normal. I was just really taken back by how, if you don't have coverage through your job, how it's not very easy to get. And I think people assume that, well, you can just buy it, and it's really not the case.
Eventually, Bolin looked into Cover Colorado, a state plan that provides insurance to people who are denied by private providers. The cost of that insurance, though, would have been half her household income. Too much, she says, for her to afford. Well, in coming months, Colorado Matters is going to explore the issue of uninsured Coloradans, like Amber Dew and Ruth Ann Bolin. Who are they? Why are they uninsured? And what are the costs to the state and to all Coloradans? For starters, we'll get a picture of the problem from several experts. Pamela Haynes is president and CEO of the Colorado Health Institute, a health research clearinghouse, which recently published a report on the uninsured in Colorado. Carrie Curtis is associate director of the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative, which aims to ensure access to affordable health care for all Coloradans. And Craig Burleson is CEO of the Inner City Health Center, a clinic in Denver that serves uninsured patients. Well, all of you, welcome to Colorado Matters. Thanks for being with us.
And thank you, Ryan, for the invitation.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Pam Haynes, I'd like to start with you. Who are the uninsured in Colorado?
Well, the uninsured is a growing number of folks. 14% of all children in the state and 20% of all adults. That's 180,000 children and 1 in 5 adults who are uninsured.
And when you look more closely at those demographics, what do you find? I mean, who are the uninsured?
Well, I think that's one of the more interesting myth-busting facts that we were able to uncover in our latest uninsured bulletin. For example, 78% of all the adults between the ages of 18 and 64 who are uninsured are working. And of those working adults, they look very much like working adults who have insurance. They are working full-time, they're working all year round. Where they differ from adults who are insured is that they tend to work in smaller firms. they tend to have lower incomes. 42% of all working uninsured adults have income below 200% of the poverty level, and that calculates out to about $19,000 a year. So one of the myths I think that we carry around with us is that the uninsured are not working, that they tend to be more what we would characterize as unemployed. Maybe if they are employed, working part-time, working part of the year, or working in a number of different jobs, and that's just not the case.
I want to explore one thing you said just a little more closely. You said a lot of these people work at smaller firms.
Yes.
Is the notion here that if you work for a smaller company, their insurance plan may not be as good because there's just not the sheer number of employees, or what?
Well, actually, I think the more realistic way of thinking about this is that small firms, and when I say small in Colorado, we tend to characterize a small firm as 50 employees or less. The cost increases that have been experienced in health insurance premiums over the last 10 years or so are much more easily absorbed the larger the firm is. They have a larger pool of people for whom they buy insurance. They're able to negotiate better insurance rates. When you get into a small firm, and Colorado is a state of small employers, and you have maybe 10 or 15 employees, if you have one employee who uses more health care services than the rest, it tends to drive up the rates for the whole pool of employees. So what happens is small firms either offer a very light insurance package, or what's been happening more and more frequently over the last 5 or 6 years is the cost of that premium gets passed on to the employee. So in other words, the employee is paying a larger share of the premium if the insurance is offered at all in their place of employment.
Or opting out of insurance altogether and therefore uninsured.
Yeah, because if you think about the fact that the vast majority of uninsured workers earn less than 200% of poverty, and let's just say you have a single individual, that's $19,000 a year. So by the time they pay their rent and their utilities and their food and their transportation, it doesn't leave a lot of money left over for an increasingly large insurance premium.
Craig Burleson, does Pamela's description of the uninsured sound like the people who come into the Inner City Health Center for treatment?
Very much so. We are targeting the uninsured. 60% of our patient population is uninsured. Now, previously, the definition for that population was the low income, working poor. And the visual image that people have of that, or the mental image that people have of that population, you generally tend to think of the unskilled labor, manual laborers in that category. But there is another dimension in the population that fits in that category, and it's growing every day, I believe. Even people who make good earnings are finding that the cost of health insurance is so expensive now that they can't afford it themselves.
Without naming names, can you give me an example of a patient you've seen recently who fits that bill? I mean, someone who would have gainful employment and yet who is uninsured.
Right. There's a great example of that. We had a family referred to us that lives in the suburbs. They were referred to us by a local church. The father works two jobs. He has a business that he works part-time, and he's also a part-time educator at one of the local colleges. Neither job, because he's part-time, provides health insurance. They had a problem where their son was experiencing health issues and were trying to treat it with over-the-counter meds, and there was no success there. Finally, one thing led to another, and someone said, you know, you ought to go see Inner City Health Center. They brought their son in, and one of our volunteer pediatricians diagnosed that this child probably had leukemia, and that turned out to be the case. The child did have leukemia, and we were able to partner with Children's Hospital to get the care that this family needed. But that's an excellent example of someone who is, we would think of as being middle class, educated, suburban, but uninsured. And the issue that those particular families have is that it's an embarrassment for them to say or have to admit that they are uninsured.
But isn't it a question of priorities? I mean, we heard from Pam, people pay the rent, they buy food, and they don't have money left over for insurance. I guess a question would be, where are they using any of their disposable income, and why aren't they putting a premium, no pun intended, on health insurance?
Well, disposable income, that's a great issue. I don't know how much of disposable income is truly available to Americans today. Certainly, we are extravagant in our spending and maybe a little bit reckless in terms of being indebted. But we've got a growing number of young people, 18 to 34, who are young, they're healthy. In this case, you had a young family, all of them very healthy, up until something exceptional happens. And it's that one exception that turns everything inside out and creates the awareness that, you know what, we've got a severe problem here and we don't have the mechanism or the means to handle it.
The group that Craig was just referencing, the 18 to 34-year-olds, our analysis over the last several years has shown that that is, in fact, the largest single group of uninsured. But when we dug a little deeper at that age group, we found that 41% of those 18 to 34-year-olds had incomes under 200% of the poverty level. And, you know, as I said earlier, 200% of the poverty level is about $19,000 a year. So I think it's important to reinforce the fact that Greg's example of a middle-class family is certainly a growing phenomenon, but a lot of the uninsured fall into what most people would call low income.
We'll be back after a short break to talk more about Coloradans without health insurance. This is Colorado Matters on KCFR.